Farpoint Media.
It's time for
Jack Mangan's deadpan.
Mr. Brown.
Do you find yourself nodding off at the wheel while driving to work because you stay up too late watching scary movies at night? Is the coffee not doing it for you? Well, Pseudopod has a solution.
Never sleep again.
That's right. Every week we podcast the absolute best in short horror fiction, professionally written and expertly narrated, guaranteed to weird you out and disturb the hell out of you while you drive to work.
Is that even safe?
Who cares? Check us out on the iTunes podcast directory. Click on Arts and then Literature. Or download directly from pseudopod.org. That's pseudopod.org. It's totally free to download. We pay our authors strictly through the donations of our listeners. But be warned, Pseudopod is absolutely inappropriate for children or anyone else whose innocence may be corrupted by stories this warped and twisted. We bring you intelligent, well-written stories. We just don't hold anything back when it comes to disturbing material.
Will this be fun?
Trust us. Pseudopod, the sound of horror.
Next up on the deadpan, an unrelated kitchen. Oh, I'm all tingly.
This is the contents of the minibar, the Morrison Hotel in Dublin, Ireland. We have two small cans of Pringles, one sour cream and onion, one original. We have a selection of mixed nuts, 100 grams. Jelly beans, also 150 grams of jelly beans. We have 120 grams of imperial mints. We have 85 grams of chocolate-covered raisins. Looks like they're white chocolate as well as dark chocolate-covered. We have a 2005 Cabernet Sauvignon. Let's see, 187.5 milliliter bottle.
This is Dr. Zoidberg. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
I gotta be crazy!
This is crazy.
Hello, it's Rhea from Calgary World Fantasy 2008, and this is another memory, of course, including my mother. I am going back quite a ways since even before we were at the farm. My mother, as most have figured out, is her own person. So one day, her and a friend were quite bored, so they picked up a tape recorder and they went to the YMCA. And this was way back before the Y was co-ed. It would have been early to mid-70s. So they went into the lobby there, pushed play, and promptly did a striptease, 100%. Then they casually picked up their clothes and walked out. I heard about this story for years after because they thought it was hilarious. Thank you. Bye.
This is Heather Welliver. Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
Oh. Hi.
We have a 2005 Ariston Bay Ruby Cabernet Merlot. Also, let's see. I'm not sure what the volume on this is, but it's also a small bottle. We have some black tea. I think this is for general use. I'm not sure if this is part of the mini bar. Some green tea. And another thing, a different kind of green tea labeled energy. Their first kind was labeled Dragon Pearl. That was the blue stuff. Oh, We have 2 bottles of Pellegrino sparkling water, 2 bottles of Pioneer water, a Mars bar, a Kit Kat, yes, in the refrigerator. Okay, this is sad. This is a very, very sad day. I am in Dublin, Ireland, and in my minibar fridge there are 4 cans of Heineken.
This is Brad P. from NJ and the Whole Lot of Nonsense podcast. Deadpan is the motherfucking way, biatch. Oh, sorry, that wasn't deadpan. Deadpan is the motherfucking way, biatch. Is that deadpan? Dang.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years, wrecking my peers and putting suckers in fear, making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom. Explosion, overpowering over the competition, I'm towering. Wrecking shop when I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare, you better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama Said Knock You Out. And that's Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Balticon is the con that will not end. But you know what? Thank you, Susan Z of the Culture Cast. That's Culture Cast with K's in it. She and her co-host Biscuit were at Balticon and were most cool people. And I'm psyched to have stolen rap lyrics resurrected. Someone remembers it from the early days of Deadpan at this point. Anyway, welcome to episode number 64 of The Deadpan. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. Got to Be Good Looking because he's so hard to see. And yeah, I did a Beatles joke in the previous episode, number 63, and not in number 64. Because I'm freaking slick like that. So I have more things to say, but I also have lots of content to play. No, I wasn't going for a rhyme there, fucker. Please don't say you're a poet and you didn't even know it. Please. So, the next segment is one that I delayed for a week, because the J.C. Hutchins episode number 63 was just bursting at the seams, but it's a good thing I did, because we can discuss a few things. Literally, because this is Really Big Things by Paul Mackey. We're up to actually episode 13B. You can reach the author, Mr. Mackey, at reallybigthings@gmail.com, and or you can hear him on Fanboy Smackdown episode SE04. And good for you, Paul Mackey. The Tonys are friggin' awesome people, and all the best to all of you. All right, enough of me friggin' intro or 7-minute oh babbling.
Ivo stepped cautiously down the road. He proceeded slowly, knowing rationally there was no road. It was his own metaphor for proceeding carefully through Jeremy's mind. To one side or the other, he could see vivid pictures of the inside of his grotto. Short-term memories not yet sent the direction he was heading, toward long-term memory. So far, everything looked as it should. But wait, just ahead, 2 features humped over and dim. That plane shouldn't be there. As he approached the darker one, a man blocked his path. Ivo stepped back in shock. The man was middle-aged, with thick dark hair, piercing green eyes, and a Van Dyke beard. He was dressed in white robes, but the robes and his face bore some sort of dark stains or smudges.
"There shouldn't be anyone in here," said the man, chuckling slightly. "No, I'm not in here exactly. I'm a construct."
"A construct?" said Ivo. "And yet you are sentient?" "To a point," said the man. "I wear the guise of and have some qualities of my progenitor."
"And the name of your progenitor?"
"I have not been furnished with."
"Ah," murmured Ivo. "Likely wise."
"Likely so," said the man. "As you probe deeper than I thought you could reach."
"You can sense that?"
"I only meant to see how you are made. I have need of semi-sentient constructs that require no unsavory additions." "I understand your meaning," nodded the man. "And I sense no malice, yet you must stop."
"Of course," said Ivo absently, now running his hand over the glass-smooth dark hump of memory. And you protect this? No, said the man. I am here to protect Jeremy from this. His own memories? What is the sense in that? I can let you in, decided the man. But these memories are blocked beneath my protection by something I think you will find quite impenetrable. Ivo's hand stopped sliding. The glassy shell dissolved beneath. Ivo's hand went elbow deep into pain. Pain and chill and cold and dark and pain and death, Ivo gasped, pulling his hand away. Indeed, said the man, I protect him from the memory of his death. But, gasped Ivo, but he's not dead. Even better a reason to be protected from the memory. I see, whispered Ivo, who then turned, almost fearfully, to the other darkened hump of memories. And that, said the man heavily. Speaking as my progenitor for a moment, that is something I wish I had noticed from the start, before getting the construct, me, in place. What is it? A cluster of hastily shielded memories, a crude blockade. It's also the home of the... else. I'm sorry? The... else. I fear I may have been infected by it. The else was stirred up recently. Ivo slowly lowered his hand to the hump. He felt a hand between his shoulder blades. I'm sorry. It's the else. Ivo plunged wetly through the barrier. His clothes and hair hung heavily on him. He felt his heart pounding in his chest. A terrible sort of ecstasy filled him. Before him was a chaotic blend of images, iron girders, faces, all manner of shapes and chaotic sounds, screeches, moans. A foul taste filled his mouth, and he had the urge to spit, but the thickness hung heavy on him, and he could not breathe. Then he could see pale face, staring eyes, not blinking, ecstasy, terrible ragged gash, horrible smell, copper, thick black fluid, creeping from the wound, mouth, full, constricting, thrust, terrible sound, rising, gorge, panic, pleasure, nasty, blocked, sick. Jack was in a panic, looking at Ivo as he jittered and convulsed before him. He was about to grab him when Ivo jerked away from Jeremy with a loud gasping moan and fell to his knees in the corner, violently heaving up his dinner. Ah, that memory, said Jeremy mistakenly. Tasty. Ivo rose from the corner and sent his fist cracking into Jeremy's jaw. You've been listening to Really Big Things, a serial by Paul Mackey. Music was Clonodermis by Nanochrist. Find out more at www.nanochrist.com. Special intro music was Three to Me from playitfree.com.
And so, Deadpan number 63 set a new comments record. It's actually still going, because I'm still recording this, and people are still commenting. However, we played Greasy Jellybean Game, where people send in their predictions as to how many comments a particular episode will get. Whoever comes the closest gets a Greasy Jellybean point. I have completely lost track of the standings and everything going on around me. But we'll touch on that in a minute. We had four predictions for the week. One was for 1572. Another was for 1121. Another was for 1313. And another was for 1122. So obviously, Chris from Tempe, again, she's done very well at this Greasy Jellybean thing. She gets with her guess of 1572. Congratulations, Chris. I'm not sure if that wins it for you or not. But let's go there now. Last episode, I put out the call. I said, I need your help. And a bunch of you volunteered, and a bunch of you are very awesome people, and I greatly, greatly appreciate it. So, I haven't gotten back to you yet, but we will create a game plan, and your help is just awesome and greatly appreciated. And we'll actually do these contests and these games right, because apparently I'm prone to, I can't handle it.
Listen, enunciate. I don't think I am foe, but I can't speak my name clearly. Poet. Hi, this is Poet Fox, P-O-E-T Fox, well, Poet Fox, But I do appreciate being a poet laureate. That's awesome. And I wrote two more sinkings, too. This one is sort of some people were writing haikus, and so I had to respond. What the? Didn't you hear? Sinkane happens to be the new poetic form of choice. So there. Puzzles. Leagues of puzzles. Making combos, chains, constant frantic stylus motion. Love it. Deadpan is the way.
We have two tiny bottles of Smirnoff. They're so tiny, they are... How small are these? Oh, I can't tell what the volume is on those. Two tiny bottles of Bacardi. Two tiny bottles of Jamestown Irish Whiskey. Two tiny bottles of Bailey's Minis Original Irish Cream. Two tiny bottles of Cork Dry Gin. A bottle of 2006 Sauvignon Blanc Santa Rita. Make that two bottles. A bottle of champagne Pomeray.
Oh, I shouldn't be laughing. I should be delivering this in a deadpan voice. Kilroy 2.0 is here. Kilroy 2.0 is everywhere. Kilroy 2.0 commands that you listen to this episode of The Deadpan. Do you comply? There you go.
I just came. And the whole world loves it when you sing the blues. Fuck the world, stay outside. But who in your measly little world are you trying to prove that you're made out of gold and a can't be sold? The world is the world is love and life for thee. Through this world I've stumbled, so many times betrayed, trying to find an honest word to find the truth enslaved. We'll sing and dance and we'll find romance and we'll stroll to the edge of the world. The world is yours, the world is yours, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, whose world is this? Here we stand, worlds apart, hearts broken in two, two, two. In my world it's cold, my defense is like stone, no one gets inside, cause in my world I'm home. And if you say this life ain't good enough, I would give my world to lift you up. I could change my life to better suit your mood. Let me tell you something, before you go taking a walk in my world, you better take a look at the real world, cause this ain't no Mr. Rogers neighborhood. Some boys take a beautiful girl and hide her away from the rest of the world. You know your world is spinning and flying through space. Safe or unsafe, you occupy this time in this place. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Feed the world. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Why do you get all the love in the world? All of a sudden, I found myself in love with the world. So there was only one thing left for me to do, and that's ding-a-ding-dang my dang-along-ling-long. Where you come from is gone. Where you thought you were going to weren't never there. And where you are ain't no good unless you can get away from it.
Hey, Deadpan, this is Ditto. I don't seem to be getting any sleep tonight. This will probably make my voice smell very deadpan. Here's my stolen paragraph from a book called The Sex Lives of Cannibals. It's a nonfiction travel book about a couple that spent a couple years on the remote island nation of Kiribati, and during the trip there, they stopped off at Johnston Atoll. And the author said, "It's tempting to dash off a page or two and expound upon the philosophical implications of Johnston Atoll. The physical manifestations of humans' capacity for great evil reside here, and for writers more ambitious than I, this would be like catnip. However, sitting in an airplane watching one passenger, a civilian who had made a peculiar career choice, disembark, I was not struck by any profound ruminations. My thoughts were more along the lines of, could someone please close the fucking door before we all turn into mutants? Armed soldiers guarded the airplane, and I just knew that they were sporting skills, and while I felt deeply sorry for them and their offspring, I just wish someone would close the door and let us breathe airplane air again, which is only slightly less toxic, but still. And then someone did just that, and we were back in the air, scanning the water closely, searching for signs of Godzilla. Have a good one, Dead Fan.
Why, sure! And whoops, yeah, miss me, meow!
Greasy Spoon comments. Comments chosen at random from the comments pages. And it's a game. Number one, the Smarty Hotties. Characterization is just as important as plot. Maybe even more sometimes. Number two, the Smarty Hotties. Hugh says, come here, clone boy. LOL. Oh, he is being too diplomatic. Ah, there we go. Tell the fuckers to leave you the fuck alone. Three, will the Smarty Hotties get a hat trick? No. Three is Thomas. No, you are the one, my dear, who indicated that me having time to read was a fault. I hadn't drank much, so my memory is quite clear.
Yeah, what's in a bit? Slinging, fascinating, and celery. You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Deadpan is the way.
Two cans of 7-Up. Two cans of Red Bull. Two cans of Diet Coke. Two cans of regular Coke. And two cans of Schweppes soda water. And last, and probably least, two cans of Schweppes tonic water. And how much does all this cost? Let us see. Oh wait, in the closet, I forgot. There is also an umbrella. And in the bathroom, there is a bathrobe that you can use and buy, which, while technically not in the minibar, can be bought through the minibar.
Stolen from the 80s.
Hi, Mr. Mangan. Kermit, Terry the Toad here with a stolen lyric from the 80s. I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind. She took me to her castle. I just couldn't believe my eyes. She had so many devices, everything that money could buy. She said, sign your name on the dotted line. The lights went out, and Nikki started to grind. The castle started spinning, or maybe it was my brain. I can't tell you what she did to me, but my body will never be the same. Her lovin' will kick your behind. Oh, she'll show you no mercy, but she'll show you how to grind. I woke up the next morning. Nikki wasn't there. I looked all over, and all I found was a phone number on the stairs. It said, thank you for a funky time. Call me up whenever you want to grind. Come back, Nikki, come back. Your dirty little prince, wanna grind, 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 grind. That was Prince, darling Nikki.
All right. It's time to outro babble. You know, it's kind of funny how we started this AKA name thing for everyone, and I totally suck at it. But here we go. It's a couple of AKA names requested for this week. Actually, that were requested a while ago, and I'm getting to now. There is Ditto, of course, who will now be Ditto, AKA the Grease Man. I told you I suck at this. Brian is now AKA the Deadpan Golden God. Or the Golden God of Deadpan. And finally, Chris from Tempe is AKA the Deadpan Queen of the Pasties. And what's funny about that one, though, is that when most people read it, it will read as Queen of the Pasties. And you know what? Actually, I almost forgot one. In a recent episode, we dubbed Julio as AKA the J-Man. But of course, he needs an alternate AKA name. This is, you know, breaking new ground. Julio will now be, in addition to the J-Man, will be AKA Julio Down by the Schoolyard. So I promised a huge announcement a few weeks back, and I'm not just trying to be a dick, but I'm going to postpone it. However, one big announcement is tomorrow I'm getting on a plane and going to Phoenix. So I should actually be there. I expect to be there in the studio on Saturday for Winging It. I sure hope. So there you go. Surprise. Something else I need to address.
Because I will not let Jack Mangan down.
Yes. Yes, Leanne Mabry. Of the Tag in the Scene podcast. Who is posted on Deadpan as, yep, the tassels on the motherfucking big wheel with Leanne and Snakes and Planes and Samuel L. Jackson. Well, Leanne, you know, I really appreciated how you recorded that thing for me for the fucking cell phone skit. And it didn't get into the last episode, and it didn't get into this one, and I'm sorry. But thank you so much for doing it. It's awesome. It'll go into another one, sweetie. Thanks again for the effort and the great job. And I hope you're not too mad, and please don't run me over with the big wheel. And of course, she is the talk of the pod sphere lately, and for good reason. If you have not yet heard Tag in the Seam number 25, then you really must. I mean, not just because my voice shows up and my music shows up, and she's really done something important. Yes, important with the podcast, and she's really elevated the art form. Such passion, intelligence, humor, beauty, sincerity, pain, raw emotion, intensity. And now, am I talking about Leanne or the podcast? This is transcendental art, people. No fucking around. Listen for yourself. Tag in the Seam, number 25. So I think that's it. I think if you want to reach me, you can send me an email, jack@jackmangan.com. You can reach me on Skype, I'm Spherical Jack M. You can send in a voicemail, 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. And I actually have a lot of content that didn't make it into this episode, but I still always appreciate new stuff coming in. Now, of course, if you've sent me stuff and you haven't heard it yet, and it's been a little while, then do not be shy. Send me an email, get in touch with me, and remind me. And I think that's just about it. You know what? I've fucking had it anyway. Deadpan is the way, and yeah, all that crap. I gotta freaking get on a plane tomorrow. So, I'm gonna end with something very cool. Something that was donated by MA of the Better Late Than Never podcast, which you absolutely must check out because she is a very smart, very enthusiastic, very fun podcaster. And it's an excellent theme. It's an excellent theme for a show. But anyway, what she did is she had the audio of an impromptu jam that had occurred up in the room shared by Phil Rossi, T. Morris, and myself. It was room 3015, which quickly became Dirty 15. And yes, it's a very rough recording, but still very, very cool of MA to get this to me. And what you're going to hear is the lovely Heather Welliver on vocals with I'm not going to call him lovely, the talented Matthew Wayne Selznick, although, you know, I'm sure he could be considered lovely, Matthew Wayne Selznick and me. We were playing the guitars, and we had contributions from everyone else around the room, like I believe we did have Evo on the Ice Bucket Bongos. So without further ado, my longtime listeners will be greatly relieved, I'm sure, to hear a new bit of music to round out the show. And you know what? I'm not coming back after this fucking music. Good night. Deadpan is, yeah, enough. Bye.
So, the most expensive item, the half bottle of house champagne, is 52 euros. Oh, not the most expensive item. Only slightly less expensive than the €75 bathrobe. The tea is part of the mini bar. I have to take all that back. The jasmine dragon pearl tea is €32. Most of the rest of the stuff is between €2 and €7, including the wine and the gin. Red Bull. Let's see. The Coke is €3 a bottle. The Red Bull is €6 a bottle. And the Pringles are €3 a bottle. And the jar of jelly beans is €5.5 a bottle. just to give you a comparison for my overly expensive hotel room, what is in the minibar, and how much it costs.
Okay, I lied. I'm back. Back. So, you know, if Bruce Banner were to get a kind of kinky girlfriend, you know, she would get excessively rough during sex, and you know exactly why. All right, now I'm out.
I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood. Oh, man. For whatever that means. And so I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed and get it all out what's in my head. So I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say,
soul.
That was awesome.
Now, any got it, Anita?